نبدأ nell'Acom a Saba, la A tal comità permanente dell'informatica, tecnologia o l'intelligenza artificiale, il tal libente dell'Spirito Santo, amen, mulej dawa li l-mohna u għamel li da kollu li namlu f'din il-kamera ikun ta' gloria li l-eku tal-ġi tal-poplu tana. Konferma tal-minuti, nisa' sekkawx bil fuq il-minuti. Okay. Nilqa li kull minn qed isegwina online fuq is-sit elettroniku tal-Parlament kif ukoll lil dawk it-telespettaturi li se jkunu qed isegwu x-xandira ta' dan il-kumitat fuq l-istazzjon televiżiv tal-Parlament tagħna. Bi pjaċiri l-lun il-qaw fostna f'dan il-kumitat il-Chief Executive Officer Ivan Filletti tal-Gaming Malta u l-Chief Officer Policy and International Affairs Kinga Warda, right? Have I? Okay. Biex niddiskutu x-xogħol li tagħmel din l-autorità fuq Artificial Intelligence, Compliance, kif ukoll fuq Responsible Gaming, se niddiskutu wkoll fuq e-sports u game development x-xogħol li qed isir qed isir ferm tajjeb diversi attivitajiet li qed ikun hawn f'pajjiżna u l-interess li qed jirnexxinna nikkrew f'dal-qasam u f'din in-niċċa ekonomika ta' pajjiżna. Nitlobkom tibdew bil-preżentazzjoni tagħkom u qabel tkunu se titkellmu tintroduċu ftit il-konfużkom jiena diġà introduċejtkom tagħmlu tajjeb għalfinijiet telespettaturi tagħna l-introduċu lin-nfusna. Fidejkom. Okay? Okay, no problem.
Thank you, good afternoon, and thank you for inviting us for this committee. Today I'll walk you through how AI is used in the gaming sector, what it means from the regulatory perspective for the MGA, for the sector, and what we're doing as well as the authority to prepare the sector for different developments that are happening, especially the project that we're currently working on related to AI charter for the gambling sector is basically a voluntary framework for our industry aligned with both the needs of the sector and as well emerging EU requirements. Before we look into AI and its importance, I would like to spend some time to give you a bit of context of what actually the gambling sector contributes to the economy. I know we don't have to emphasize within this room, but that sets the scenes for the next discussion mm-hmm. that I will be giving you. So the gaming industry remains one of the most important pillars of the economy. It currently contributes around 1.3 billion to the Malta's economy, which represents around 6.7% of gross value added, and these are only the direct effects. When we consider indirect effects, it is around 10%. So with that significant figures, it's very important for us as a regulator to constantly think about the sustainable development of the sector and continue developing the sector in a way that it is developing in a way that does not shock the system too much. And when it comes to employment, the sector currently employs around 14,000 direct employees in Malta. Again, there's this indirect effect when we look into in other sectors of economy that provide services to the gambling sector. We very often talk about the gaming ecosystem, some other supporting services that includes law firms, that includes real estate, IT, many different consultancy services, and when we looked into that numbers, we actually ran our own studies. The number of employees somehow related directly or indirectly to the gambling sector is around 18,000, so that's around 6% of the national workforce. So altogether, when we look into the scale and maturity of the sector, it is essential for us to make sure that the adoption of AI happens responsibly, in a way that always protects player. That's the key for us as the regulators, while also safeguards the long-term stability of the sector. One thing that I didn't mention, I think it's important to emphasize, is the long-term commitment of the gambling companies to Malta. There's lots of misconceptions sometimes when it comes to the gambling sector, but the data proves that on average, the average gambling company stays in Malta for around 7.5 years. And when we look into only 100 biggest companies that contributes most when it comes to revenue, when it comes to employment, this figure rises to around 13 years, which is quite significant. And it shows this long-term commitment to Malta. Before I'm going to give you more details on AI project that we're working on and AI in general of what is happening in the sector right now, I need to emphasize that our regulatory model is technology neutral, and this is the key in this discussion. That means that we don't prescribe which technologies operators can or must not use, and our focus is always on the outcomes, on fairness, integrity, responsible gaming, and AML CFT compliance. So our operators are free to adopt AI or non-AI systems as long as the outcomes remain compliant with our requirements. And this is very important because obviously with different developments in the sector, with AI now picking up, with different technologies always appearing there for the operators, it's very important for us as regulator not to in any way reduce this innovation. So innovation needs to have room to innovate. Sorry for the lack of better words, but that's exactly how we look at it at the MGA. So it's crucial for us that AI system, as they become more sophisticated and they are more integrated into operators' workflows, that there's a way for them to develop in a way that regulator does not, it's not too stringent on that innovation. Now, what is our role in this AI-driven environment when it comes to gambling sector? So from our end, we always assess how and whether the outcomes are achieved. So again, not what technology is used to achieve them. To give you a practical example, when the AI is being used, for example, for fraud detection, for responsible gambling, or even for onboarding of the player, our role is always to make sure that these systems do not undermine our regulatory obligation or they do not create any risks for players. That's our ultimate goal. At the same time, it's very important to emphasize what's the MGA's remit in all of that. So we are not the AI Market Surveillance Authority. There's another authority, MDIA, that is tasked with surveillance not only of the gambling sector but all other sectors in Malta. Having said that, we are working hand-in-hand with this authority to make sure that the perspectives of the gambling sector... Yes?
So I assume this thing about detection, fraud, and
yes,
onboarding is part of our legislation, right?
Yes, it's
and you.
So our, as I said, our legislation is technology neutral, but there are certain obligations, whether companies are using AI or not using AI-related systems, there are still certain obligations on them that they are in place. And
but in any case, that is the onboarding process,
yes,
as well.
Yes, yes, absolutely. In,
for every company, for every client?
For every company, yes, yes. MGA roles actually, it starts from the very beginning, from licensing, onboarding, monitoring, enforcement. So we are there throughout the entire life cycle of the company. And then on top of that, because of the EU AI Act, there is MDIA that will be overseeing all other sectors, not only gambling sectors, not only gambling sector, from the point of view of AI compliance with the EU AI Act. Yes, so for the purpose of this presentation and also something that, you know, we are currently doing, we are on a fact-finding mission with our licensees. We are very proud of always involving our licensees in the policy-making process, seeing the real cases and the real use scenarios. We don't want to be the authority that, you know, come up with a regulation or some policy-making completely in vacuum without involvement of the gambling sector. So we did reach out to our licensees. We conducted a detailed survey with them, and we are working on the study to see how AI is actually currently, how it is being used. And when we speak about AI in the gambling sector, it's important to understand that it is already deeply integrated into systems. There are certain companies, obviously, that are in the very mature phase when it comes to AI use. There are others that need a little bit more time to catch up. Obviously, the time is pressing because AI EU Act is already in place, has been already transposed to the local legislation, so there are certain obligations in place already. But we're seeing some great cases. First of all, when it comes to player protection, this is the best use case that can be. AI models can actually spot very early any signs of harm when it comes to looking into behavioral patterns of players, into any escalation in play, any chases of losses, as we call it, any changes in the game pattern, and they can help monitoring more effectively how the player is behaving and, of course, intervening. When it comes to integrity, fraud prevention, and financial crime controls, we are also seeing some use cases out there. From the point of view of segmentation and player profiling, we've been seeing some systems that are looking into game recommendation, profiling of the players, although here this is a very sensitive area. I will be talking about it very soon when it comes to the risk of AI, since when there's an interaction with the player, obviously human interaction is crucial. We can't rely purely on AI systems for that. We're also seeing some cases when it comes to player experience. We have companies using chatbots, virtual assistants, to manage very large volumes of customer support interactions. The AI helps to improve time of response and also improve service consistency. And finally, we are also seeing AI being used a lot in HR, in recruitment process, task management, CV screening. Again, this is according to AI Act, this is a high risk area where the human interaction is crucial, and there are certain obligations on companies that are using AI for that purposes. Now, before I'm going to introduce you the charter and the three phases that we are currently working on, I want to also emphasize that although AI brings a lot of benefits to the gambling industry, and we should definitely concentrate on those, there are as well risks that need to be tackled. There are some risks that traditional systems do not introduce, and obviously as a regulator, we can't be blind to those risks. One of the main issues, obviously, the fact that AI decisions can be hard to understand or justify, especially when it comes to player flagging or why certain player was restricted from the gameplay or from interacting within the gameplay. So there are the matters, obviously, of accountability for consumer trust and as well for us for regulatory assurance. That's very important. There's also a risk of models that can produce different impacts across different consumer groups if we are using the data that is not complete or maybe in some way or form it's skewed. We can't be over-reliant on AI. There needs to be always this human interaction, especially when we are talking about players, when we are talking about vulnerable customers. There are other risks related to data privacy and behavioral data. So because of that, and keeping all of that in mind, we as a regulator, we decided to come up with the MGA AI Charter. It is basically a set of best practices when it comes to use of AI. And the main reason for that is, first of all, the risk that AI can bring to gambling sector. Second of all, there is already EU AI Act at the EU level, and it is not sector specific. And as it is always the case with any EU directive, sometimes it's very difficult for particular sectors to really understand what is requiring from them. So us as the regulator, we feel that we need to provide this additional guidance to the gambling sector to make sure that it is compliant considering its size, its scale, its the amount of revenue it generates. So we decided to come up with this charter together with MDIA. They are very much involved in the entire process. The idea is to provide more practical guidelines when it comes to EU AI Act, to provide sector-specific guidance when it comes to gambling use cases. Hopefully, it will reduce the friction and the compliance issues when the AI Act is fully enforceable. Now, in practice, we have three phases, and currently we are in the last phase. Soon we'll be introducing roundtable sessions for the gambling sector. So the first phase is basically drafting the AI charter, making sure that it is aligned with our gaming regulation, with EU AI Act. There's EU AI Pact, there's our player protection, to make sure that it is in line with how the MDIA will be supervising the sector, and also what are our requirements as the gambling authority. The second phase are the co-creative workshops that we are working on. It is, as well, we conducted a study with our licensees to see the real use cases, to see whether they are ready for EU AI Act. how they are, what is their governance framework when it comes to use of AI. So we touched upon different areas through that study. And the third phase are the AI literacy roundtable sessions that will be conducted for the gaming operators with the expert in the field. Just to mention, the EU AI Act actually introduced obligation on the gambling companies to make sure that they upskill when it comes to AI use. So anyone who is in some way working with AI needs to have a proper training. So that's it from my end, and thank you for this opportunity. As I said, we are very proud at the MGA that we are always involved different stakeholders in the process, and I'm very glad that we had the opportunity to give you some updates as well on what we're doing. If you have any questions, I will be happy to reply to them.
Excellent presentation.
Thank you.
Very clear. Some questions. You spoke about statistics in Malta, about the gaming industry. How do we compare as Malta with other EU countries when it comes to statistics of this sort, like, you know, the number of companies here, mm-hmm. the intake of?
So when we compare ourselves with other European jurisdictions, I must say that Malta is a specific and very successful place for establishment of the gambling companies. There's no other European jurisdiction that regulates that many companies as we do. Currently, we have more than 300 companies being established here, and as I said, they've been established here for a number of years. For many years, gambling has been contributing always between 8 to 10% to the Maltese GVA. I can't recall any other European jurisdiction that would have gambling sector that developed as we have. But there's a lot of policies, there's a lot of work from different authorities, not only from the MGA, but also from the Gaming Malta, to support that development of the sector. If you understand how important it is for the Maltese economy, and we work very hard to make sure that it will continue contributing
that
way.
In fact,
it's a good point. You mentioned the 7.5 years that the companies...
Yes.
That is a very good...
Yes, to be honest, we
sorry, Eva.
In that sector... Excuse me, if you
okay.
continue.
Go ahead.
Yes, I've been working in the gaming authority for the past 12 years, and we've seen many different misconceptions when it comes to contribution of the gambling sector, how serious it is, how heavily regulated it is, and I think it's very important that we concentrate on numbers and facts when we have this discussion. So even as the MGA, we rely heavily on data, we rely heavily on the cooperation we have with the National Statistics Office, so we want to make sure that there's a clear picture of what the gambling industry is contributing and how important it is and how it is developing. So as you said, it is a very important statistic knowing that the gambling sector is here to stay and it's been here for a number of years.
In fact, to put an emphasis
to this,
and this being a technology committee, very simply, we are the Silicon Valley for iGaming. No ifs and no buts. We're the global leader when it comes to iGaming. And what we need to continue doing is consolidating the sector, but also remaining hungry, I would say. It was the minute that we start being comfortable with what we have,
yes.
is the minute when we start getting complacent. And the work that we do between Gaming Malta as the guardian of the ecosystem, I would say, and MGA as the regulatory body is important in a way that we work together. Essentially, the left hand knows what the right hand is doing. Ultimately, also because we respect the industry. I'm talking about respect. We actually run a campaign called Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Why? Because the industry stands for responsible gaming, entertainment, speed, consistency, great product, enhanced due diligence, customer-centric, and ultimately it's talent.
Do we set obligations on operators when it comes to responsible gaming? Is there any kind of, corporate social responsibility on that
as well? Very much so. We have a player protection directive We have different guidelines. I must say, when it comes to player protection, we are very strong about it. It's one of the most important aspects of the industry to make sure that we protect minor and vulnerable players, so there's an entire framework around it. Apart from that, when it comes to also player protection and sustainability, we also have the ESG code that looks into sustainability and encourages companies to be transparent about environmental, social and governance aspect. We had a very good uptake. We have companies actually, there's a community around it, we're happy that although not compulsory, the companies are still participating and being transparent of how they treat players, like customers, their employees, and so on.
You mentioned employees working in the industry. Do you see interest of Maltese in taking opportunities in the iGaming industry, being such a successful, and as one said, is a Silicon Valley in the iGaming industry. So the idea of having more Maltese participating in the iGaming business, as well, you know, creating specific training like in MCAST to direct these youths towards this industry as well?
Yes, this is actually a very important aspect that we've been discussing every year, I think. And over the years, we've seen more and more Maltese people actually joining the sector. There's more initiatives when it comes to academic institutions to encourage young people to join the sector. I must say, the gambling sector is heavily reliant on foreign workforce. There's 70% of employees are still foreigners. But we're seeing increase when it comes to Maltese population. There are courses at MCAST. There are different digital courses and related to video gaming at the University of Malta. We, as the MGA, we are inviting MCAST students every year to our premises, and together with Ivan, we have a full day when we are going through different aspects of the gambling sector to show them what's out there, to help them out as well, and make it easier for them to get a clear picture of what the industry is about. But yes, we're seeing more Maltese people joining the sector. And apart from them being directly involved in the gambling sector, then we have many different sectors supporting services where we have a high number of Maltese people actually working there.
Okay. So we can move to the other.
Yeah.
Thank you for your presentation. About the Malta Gaming Authority. May I also introduce my colleagues here, part of this committee, Naomi Kakia. Honorable Naomi Kakia, she is the whip from the government side, and she's part of this committee as well. Honorable Ivan Bartolo as well, part of the opposition part, he is also an active member of this committee. So,
thank you.
It's your turn.
In fact, it's good that we started on iGaming, and back in 2019 we started on a strategy to look at the broader church of gaming, and this is where a new area of technology which we wanted to investigate and explore: video game development, esports, and immersive tech, which today we coin it under an umbrella term called interactive entertainment. Suffice to note that, and Honorable Bartolo will understand me on this, with iGaming we were in blue ocean waters. When it came to video game development and interactive entertainment, we were a bit in red ocean waters, that we were known for being an iGaming jurisdiction, but not so well known for being an interactive entertainment jurisdiction. And it's also good to know that within this committee, within the members, I see a lot of support and especially on these sectors, etc. But ultimately, we can talk about technology, we can talk about AI, but ultimately that there are people and companies who are running these organizations. And this is what I want to give a story about today. So we're going to talk about video game development, so the making of games, essentially, esports, which is competitive video gaming, immersive technologies, and ultimately, very, very important and very close, I know, to our hearts also, Honorable Abela, education. And one of the strategies that we had started to look at is ultimately in finding a space for these companies to grow, right? So we have an incubator space called Basecamp at Zaytoun, and I do invite the members of the committee to one day, please come and visit us. Come and meet the companies there. And why? Because it's a community of innovators. It's a community of international and local companies being there, I must say, doing great stuff, essentially. So we have companies who are invested by Meta. We have companies who have moved from Liverpool doing their R&D operations on the island. And if I had to give a bit of just an idea, so it's a beautiful space, 700 square meters, and what's more important is it's a community, ultimately, which was sorely missing, you know, on the island. And what you find is people, they end up working together. So I use your services, you use mine. Let's see how we combine this together. And as you saw there, our mission is very, very clear. Let us be the stage of your global ambitions. Let Malta be the base of your global ambitions. Let us be your launch pad there. And today we're growing the interactive space. We count, although you know, there's obviously still work to be done, but we have AAA studios on the island. When I say AAA studios, I mean they have Hollywood budgets to produce video games, right? We have independent studios and independent publishers. And also, on the esports front, I say that today we have, you know, some of the best names in the world here on the island. And these are all, when I look at these companies, they all bring around different stories. On your right of the screen, Envil. So two twin brothers out of MCAST running a very successful Maltese video game development studio. They were part of our Basecamp story. They graduated out of Basecamp, and today they have their own studios at Smart City. Middle Studios, another Maltese, some brilliant minds, doing a very, very interesting game base with immersive also experience and using a Harry Potter kind of treatment. The founder, Ryan, his story is that he had left Malta because there weren't any opportunities in the sector. Today he's back and he started his own startup, which is very well invested also. Phoenix Group, our new addition from Ireland, Roblox, so they are one of the top Roblox agencies in Europe, and they're now here. Reforce Studios, a very, very, very interesting. They actually buy studios across Europe, and they buy publishers, and they invest in them. These were, Reforge were also part of our Basecamp. Now they've moved out also. So Basecamp is proving to be, you know, a real staging ground. But what we see is that that's not enough. That's not enough. We need to go out there, and we need to help them also in learning business, essentially. So we do international accelerator programs. We offer this kind of support to them. They get mentorships, etc. From business planning to presenting and pitching and all the skills which are required. What you see here is we give people to be on stage internationally. So this is the European
games night at one of the largest gaming expos in Europe, Gamescom. And we always have a stage for two multi-studios to go and present there. They present to publishers and they present to investors. Education. We can have the best fiscal initiatives that the island can provide, which the island does provide even through Malta Enterprise, which we work extremely closely with. One thing I want to underpin is that it's very important that us as government entities, so that myself, the MGA, MDIA, Malta Enterprise, the left hand knows what the right hand is doing. And this is something which we've been working very, very well at, including Malta Enterprise. So these people, they actually travel with us also when they come and meet the ecosystem. But education, why? Because we will fail if we don't get the right talent and if we don't nurture the right talent. So some key initiatives which we're doing is we've signed a multi-agreement with Unity, the game engine. We've currently trained 400 students to be Unity certified across university and across MCAST also. And we're actually Unity have together with us our own proprietary platform where students can go, they can go through the courses, they go through the programs and certifications, etc. Unreal Engine, which is another major game engine, so we're producing educational pathways through Unreal Engine, where Unreal Engine are currently looking at different education institutions in Malta and certifying them to be trainers for Unreal. And also we've started our own initiative called AIM, Academy of Interactive Media, where basically we provide guru-led masterclasses in different facets of the video gaming industry. And only last November we had one of the luminaries, I would say, of the video gaming space, Jason De La Rocca from Canada, who actually gave business mentorship to the leads of the studios, etc. And in fact, I just maybe want to look at this. Epic Games are one of the largest, so the owners of Fortnite, essentially. What you've heard also from this is mentioning of the film industry. So there's a very, what we call transmedia, essentially, whereby this technology is bringing these sectors essentially together. Video game development, the film industry, esports going into iGaming. So what I call the convergence of technology, ultimately. And we're going to be seeing this. So other activities which we do are game jams, essentially. We have one coming up. About 50 individuals have registered for the event, where basically they're given a task over the weekend, and they spend the whole weekend within a building, essentially, day and night, 24 hours, producing a game related to the project. And this is, we have Unity behind us, but the University of Malta does them, MCAS do them, and we support them in there. As I said, we're on a missionary zeal here. We need to get more and more people and our young people within the industry. The way it works, we have the Institute of Digital Games, which is very masters. At master's level and research, and then through MCAST and also through some faculties within the university, we get more students which are more plug-in and play, essentially. But one also must keep in mind that within the faculty of ICT, 80 students graduate at the best of times, which is certainly not enough, to the ambitions which we have as a country also. Recently we've had more requests from schools coming to us. Essentially we give them presentations on entrepreneurship and games, essentially, and how to use games also for education, essentially. And we have an immersive tech lab within Basecamp also. And why? Because games are also used for social impact, so we understand games for fun. But there's games which are used for education, games which are used to treat autism, etc. And this is Lorna here, is a Maltese entrepreneur actually producing her own game, especially for young people and teenagers, etc. Artificial intelligence, where does this come in? This has been obviously a very large disruptor, like any other industries, for the sector. The industry is using AI for design, what's making them more efficient rather than replacing the actual talent. I think that's very important. One of the main studios we have in Malta is called Keywords. So these are the largest service providers to the video game industry globally. And they have two studios on the island, working on some very large projects. One of the projects, which is where their team is based in Malta, is on introducing AI and AI tools to all the over 350 game studios globally of Keywords, essentially. And the team is based in Malta and doing that. So, what we're doing with them is, ensuring that Malta is a top location for the professional and open use of AI in global entertainment. Ultimately, though, do we have all the answers? No, we're learning every day of this. It gets disrupted every day, but we definitely want to continue showcasing. Then we go around the world and we go and spread the news. Essentially, this is in Gamescom in Cologne. We take up the studios with us. We organize networking events for them. They meet publishers, etc. And we're slowly but surely, making a case for ourselves. There is competition out there. Of course, there's the, Honorable Bartolo, there's the competition from Europe, which was already established. But what we're seeing is the UAE and the Saudis, essentially, basically they have the same goals that we have. But from a European perspective, I'm also part of a European group to promote the industry, is that we need to continue showcasing that Europe holds a very good place for these sectors. Esports was low-hanging fruit for us, right? So essentially what this means is we're a great tourist destination, a lot of young people come here, we've got fantastic historical sites, and all great aspects to attract esports organizations to Malta. We had a multi-year agreement with a company called ESL, which today is Faces Group, for a number of years, which have been bought essentially by the Saudi government for 1.7 billion, right? And they've launched us to the world. The world got to know about us. Hey, Malta, let's go to Malta and let's do esports. Since then, we've signed a deal with a company called Blast, which is actually invested by the Danish government. They've incorporated a very large facility on the island, 5,000 square meters, with a 1,000 square meter transmission studio. Essentially, it will become one of the best European broadcasting facilities, I would say. And when you see, when we put tier one tournaments, they're transmitting from there, we get 60 million online views. So can you imagine the return on investment for a country like ours, which is all essentially, you know, plastered with gaming Malta and you know, showing what the island can offer. And you've got the teams who come to Malta, and the teams are essentially young people with Instagram following of 500,000. They're professional athletes. You treat them like they come here with their sports psychologists, they come here with their nutritionists, etc., although they're playing video games. You know, I know sometimes it's difficult maybe to understand it from people outside of the industry and to comprehend that. But we're seeing more and more so. It's good to know somebody recently mentioned Malta is becoming the Monaco of esports. You know, and this is something that we're very humble about it, and you know, working within our limitations also. But we're making a name for ourselves. And what we're doing with Blast is shadowing programs for students to actually shadow key roles during an event so that they can start learning, so that we get, you know, more teams start learning more and more about the industry and working behind the camera, working in the editing suites, working on project management, working on streaming, etc.
In fact, we have a lead person, Maltese person.
Yes. Actually, they have a Maltese person. Basically, the entity is set up in Malta now also, and so more and more it gives us the opportunity to that. But importantly is that we need to continue growing the local grassroots for esports. It's good that we get the international players, but what we want is very similar to what we do with other sports. There are nurseries, there's a structure, and we are building the structure to invest more in the local grassroots. I enjoy myself going to the Hamrun Government School, where they give an area for esports, and over the weekend people meet there as a community to play and to participate in tournaments, etc. So we want to encourage more of that. Just to give you, maybe get a bit of a. This gentleman is the top esports player in the world, Zayu. And Malta is very firmly in his sights, I would say. Price pools will range in the million euros, essentially, over. And this is the studio, and I would like you, please, do come and visit. MFC Sinta Ali, adjacent to it. Probably you know the structure when there was the European Security Defense Council on the island, and basically Blast has taken that for 3 years. It was the best venue available on the island, which required the high proportions because of the filming, the transmission, and all that. So we're getting any sort of this. But ultimately, very importantly, is that this has to be linked up to our vision 2050 as a country also. So you know, this is when I said the left hand needs to know what the right hand is doing. And we have some very clear targets there, but it's well embedded within Vision 2050. In fact, I would say foreign investors find it very impressive that esports is actually mentioned there, is video gaming actually mentioned there, and yes, there's backing by cross-political support, I would say, from government. And you know, these are the things that we need to continue moving. We are revisiting our strategy, which we started in 2019. We're upgrading that essentially also in this new geopolitical, I would say, order which exists. So we'll be launching it in the next couple of months also, and you know, continue to create the Malta product, I would say. This is why it's Make It in Malta. You know, it's important that we continue making it here. And as I said, the actual fun is only just beginning. You know, we're only getting started, and the message is to all stakeholders, to myself, to the team, is that we are relentless. We need to continue being relentless and being hungry, and you know, ultimately it's achieving our goals, but positioning Malta as a place where you can do business, where we can add value to your business, you know, more than anything else. One other event which we do is, maybe not mentioned here, is PlayCon. I know Honorable Jerome here is a keen supporter of that, all of the assets. So, and when you see the young people coming with their parents, and you see the joy in their eyes, and they're seeing the games, and they're seeing this movie, we do it for a very specific reason. A, we want to show young people, hey, look, video games isn't just about playing, but you need to know your maths, you need to know your physics, you need to know your coding, you need to know your biology, essentially, because it all comes in within the training of designing a video game, but also the parents, that there is a career, you know, beyond being a doctor or beyond and all that. And this is our story at this stage. Happy to field some questions.
Any remarks? Or comments?
I'm sorry, I wasn't here present. A point I'd like to pass on to you, and also even if I'm touch very, when you were speaking about the AI charter, I come from the industry, so 43 years in technology for my sense. Effectively, I am seeing at the moment quite a lot of organization, not just in gaming. Actually, the organizations I'm seeing at the moment are outside gaming, but they are in fintech, where effectively they did not realize that most, you know, a lot of their source code has been AI generated. So now there are issues on IP titles. So I would definitely recommend that you provide guidelines in that respect and seek the necessary legal framework, you know, what it's all about, because I know about two cases in Malta at the moment within insurance companies that they have significant issues. That's one. In your presentation, Ivan, you spoke about, you know, the education outside the technology, you know, the business acumen and all that, and I find that obviously extremely, you know, because at the end of the day, you know as much as I do, the development of any IT product or any software is 20% of the game. The real game is the go-to-market.
That's,
you know,
that's
the 80% of
Completely.
The game. I've already said this to the Malta Enterprise and to other authorities that came here, and I feel I need to say it to you as well, because since you are cooperating a lot, I firmly believe that in Malta there is a huge need for us. Now, whether it will sit with you, whether it will sit with the Malta Enterprise, that is irrelevant. But Malta, we need to create a skills bank, you know, where effectively, in today's world, we know the issues that are around funding. You know, the access to funds are very, very difficult on the island. I was one person who found many challenges in that space, and they still exist, especially even now with the Malta Stock Exchange not enjoying any equity listings and all of these things. So a skills bank could be very strategic, where effectively you have people our age at the end of the day, let me talk about myself, my age, where in real terms, instead of ending up doing nothing, you know, you can offer a certain amount of time to guide these people, you know, about that 80% which will actually bring about success. So I think a skills game could be very, very important. Then it goes to funding. You know, I think we need to do a lot of work on the island with regards to funding, especially for these, in, you know, the people that are in your in your incubator and all that. Yeah. And I think there's an opportunity of strategic investors. In Malta, there are a lot of rich people. A lot of people made their money through property. They have a lot of free cash flow. You know, and the problem or the reason why they keep on looking at property is because they don't have other avenues for investment. So I think with government, there could be a very good opportunity to create models whereby these strategic investors can buy into and they can get tax credits in the same way we had developed the pension scheme. You know,
yeah.
I am one person who enjoys investing in a pension scheme because I get obviously a tax credit against it. Last but not least, you've mentioned, and you alluded to it, because it was my first note. I was going to tell you, you know, I think we need to amplify and drive more focus on health gamification. There is a huge opportunity there.
Especially when it comes to immersive tech.
Exactly.
Using
especially tech. When we're looking around us today, you know, we know the issues with mental health, we know the issues with diabetes, we know the issues with a lot of specific health conditions, and I think the opportunity, what I'm seeing happening in Norway, what is happening in Ireland, health gamification is becoming very, very, very popular, you know, and it could become a USP even for us. And the reason what they're doing is they're actually then going into, just to give a very, very brief example, you can involve pharmacies. That if I actually play the game and I'm winning, which means I am taking care of my diabetes, blah, blah, blah. That earns me points. It becomes a cryptocurrency. And that cryptocurrency within an ecosystem, I can actually go to that particular pharmacy which is participating in that ecosystem and effectively get a discount on the medicines. So now you've incentivized me. Education. I'm playing, I'm learning, I'm earning.
Yes.
You know, so it's a win, 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 win. I stop here. Thank you and well done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well done, Honorable Bartolo. I'm not talent to call for Parliament. Madam.
Obligani. Le kummet vera konċis. Lort skuzzani maħabu mpenni uħrajn ma stajċun kunaw. Qabel, jina kull maħanajt huwa grazzi. Naħdem ħafna biċi Massur Filletti u nistanajt kem u tim tijaw min kien li r-rizorsi huma li huma, pero vera tamlu xogħol mhux biss tajjeb ħafna, imma b'impenn u dedikazzjoni li ma bħalhom. Allura anke f'isem l-Oppożizzjoni bħala xhedu Ministera l-Ekonomija u l-Intrapriża xtaqt formalment ngħidilkom grazzi ħafna u keep it up għaliex dejjem ħassibu l-appoġġ tagħna kif qed inti. U aħna dejjem ninsistu bir-raġun m'għandix dubju li inti tieħu gost biha biex jiġu allokati iktar riżorsi li tkomplu damlu ħidma sfiqha biss pajjiżna wara kollox. Grazzi ħafna.
Jiena bla dubju bla dubju naqbel ma' sħabu wkoll ġifieri x-xogħol li qed isir kemm il-Malta Gaming Authority kif ukoll mill-Gaming Foundation ingħata Ivan Filletti. Qed isir xogħol impeccable. Jiena rajt bajnejja mis-sejt bidejja daw il-presentation li rajt il-blast u l-unity u l-opportunity nagħtu żgħażagħ. Nixtiequ li aktar żgħażagħ juru l-interess li jitlu f'daw l-oqsma tal-gaming u l-video gaming. Għaliex għax nemmnu li l-futur huwa l-hemm ta' pajjiżna. U l-opportunitajiet qegħdin hemmhekk. U nixtiequ li t-tfal tagħna u ż-żgħażagħ tagħna jkomplu għaddejjin l-istudji tagħhom u jmorru għal dawn l-opportunitajiet, għal dawn il-jobs ukoll li huma interessantissimi. Spiċċa żmien li fejn jidħol video gaming għandek għal fejn tmur barra biex issib karriera. Grazzi għal Malta Foundation dan ix-xogħol qed isir u it-tfal u żgħażagħ tagħna jistgħu jilħqu l-aspirazzjonijiet tal-karrieri ta' kwalità, kif dejjem ngħidu, in line mal-viżjoni ta' Malta 2050, l-iżgur li il-Gaming Foundation hija qed hemmhekk biex tkompli tkabbar dan in-niċeġ differenti dawn is-setturi differenti mhux biss għall-ekonomija per se, imma għall-poplu Malti għawċi. Din ringrazzjakom tal-kont umana. Right? Għankomplu
bis. Narġa bistedinkom.
Grazie tal-istadina.
Intaqaw mannis.
Grazie tal-istadina. Għen organizzawa. Għan organizza fil-grupp għankun għetni nibat l-invitation, ovvjament, li
nkollu l-istadina. Fl-axar mill-axar naħmu fil-service publiku, għajda bil-Malti di, u xoħna u għan nkunu ta' service. Akku bazikament, u dik għan uħduwa bil-serjetà ħafna.
U li għara kollox aħna politiċi wkoll. U li nintaqgħu mal-kostitwenti tagħna nkunu nistgħu waslu ġo djar ukoll ix-xogħol li qed isir minn daw l-awtoritajiet tagħna. Grazzi. Mela niġu għal affarijiet oħra xtaqt inqajjem punt f'dan il-kumitat li ġie referut lilna mingħand il-kumitat dwar l-affarijiet barranin u Ewropej rigward id-Digital Omnibus. Ħankun qed ngħaddu xi dokumenti fuqhom. Issa il-proposti li għaddew lilna bħala kumitat biex nkunu nistgħu niddiskutuhom ukoll. Allora jiena ħejjejt illi minħabba il-ġimgħa d-dieħel ħan iddiskutu wkoll fuq natura teknika u legali li huwa jgħajjekt flimkien mal-Chamber tal-Avukati kif ukoll mal-MDIA, allora ħassejt illi waqt il-kumitat stess niddiskutu din it-tema. Nkunu nistgħu nibbrainstormjaw flimkien id-direzzjoni lejn dan il-Digital Omnibus. Ovvjament jekk hawn qbil il-ġimgħa d-dieħla. Ekku. Informati għan informawhom għada, wara hawnhekk, ovvjament irid il-qbil ta' kumitat tiegħi l-ewwel biex inkun nista'
nifhmu.
Mela, laqbilna ser ikollna magħna l-Kamra tal-Avukati, membri mill-MDIA kif ukoll mill-IDPC. Biex flimkien nkunu nistgħu niddiskutu fuq ejja governance u biqbil hawnhekk nipproponi li ngħaddu dan il-materjal lill-entitajiet imsemmija biex nkunu jistgħu wkoll jippreparaw punti nkunu nistgħu insaqsuhom xi mistoqsijiet relatati mhux biss fuq l-ejja jekk kif ukoll fuq id-Digital Omnibus. Mela minn hemmhekk nistgħu nimxu għal kontenut tal-laqgħa li jmiss.
Li forsi nissuġġerixxi. M'hemmx fejn ikun ma tkunx laqgħa konġunta, imma nistgħu anke stiednu jew ninformaw lill-membri tal-Kumitat Permanenti.
Diġa stidennaw.
Barranin. Ok. Nistgħu ninformaw anke b'mod informa.
Il-fatt għal din il-laqgħa research analyst tal-kumitat dwar l-affarijiet barranin u Ewropej se tkun qed tattendi biex tieħu xi noti għar-rapport li mbagħad jiġi preżentat
lill-kumitat.
Punt ieħor li xtaqt inqajjem huwa punt interessanti ħafna, aħna bdejna niddiskutu l-ewwel inizjattiva li konna minnha bħala kumitat. Huwa li qajjimna l-inizjattiva AI for Parliamentarians, għamilna l-ewwel fażi, wedkom li nkomplu mixin għat-tieni fażi, u bi pjaċir qed inħejju l-idea flimkien mal-PPS ukoll illi xtaqt illi kull membru parlamentari kif ukoll l-impjegati tal-Parlament jingħataw liċenzja tal-Copilot. U ovvjament din il-ġumgħa, skużani, il-ġumgħa dieħla ħassir laqgħa bejn l-speaker u PPS nkunu aħna qed nistidinkom hekk tidu tiġu u tattendu għaliha, fejn ħanamlu ħammexxu l-quddiem dil-idea u nkunu nistgħu mmexxu data wkoll għal laqgħa tat-taħriġ tal-Copilot ukoll biex kulħadd ikun jgħid. Hekk taqblu. Mela, għal daqstant jekk qed taqblu fuq din ukoll nistgħu mmexxu u ġentilment naġġorna dan il-kumitat għal nhar it-tlieta x'hekk jiġu l-24 ta' Marzu ġimgħa d-dieħla fit-tlieta u nofs ta' wara l-ofsinhar bl-aġenda li għadni kif semmejt. Grazzi u lejlet tajjeb.